This week, the message is called, Here Comes the Judge. We're living in very amazing times today as we speak. A lot of stuff going on in the world, guys. A lot of stuff. If you have the eyes of the Lord, if the Holy Spirit is in you, and you turn on the news, it should shock you, but it shouldn't surprise you that the way the world is turning. And we're going to talk about a little bit about that this morning, but let's pray, man, let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for who you are. You are truth, you are holy, you are righteous. And we'll all stand before you in judgment, Lord. And we just pray this morning that your Holy Spirit would work in each and every one of our lives, Lord, that you would pierce our hearts evermore. And like I've been praying all morning, that you, those of us that know you, Lord, would be drawn in a deeper love relationship with you and a deeper recognition of your plan for our lives. And those that may have questions about this Christ belief in who Jesus is, Lord, that you would pierce their hearts with the truth, because you're the one that does the converting, Lord. You just ask us to be faithful and obedient and sharing your love. And we just pray you'd be with us this morning. In your precious name, Jesus. Amen. We've basically been looking for the last couple weeks from the middle of Matthew 24 right on through chapter 25. We're going to look at the parable of the sheep and goats here this morning. And a scripture that I could not remember the scripture and phrase that, but what a shock Dan Geist reminded me of was 2 Peter 3:15. Better look, 1 Peter 3:15. To be ready with an answer for the hope that is in you. If I handed out a sheet of paper to each and every one of you, and no, there will not be a test from me, but if I handed out a sheet of paper to every one of you, regardless of what you believe, regardless of who's in this room, could you give an honest reason and an honest answer for the hope that you have, whether it's in Christ or in something else? You may have your hope in your bank account. You may have your hope in that brand new Beamer sitting out in the parking lot, or that motorcycle, or your hope may be in you. But I want to challenge you guys this morning. Every time we step up here, encouragement and love and grace is good. But we want to challenge you guys to step a little bit farther out in your faith. To be challenged by God and to reach out and touch those who desperately, desperately need to hear about Christ. Amen? I wanted to touch on a book. There's a book that's on the number one bestseller list. I'm not going to jump on it too bad, but there's an author named Reza Aslan, and it's a book he came out with called Zealot, The Life and Times of Jesus. Anybody heard about it? No? It's really, really popular right now. And for good reason, it's really popular. And I say that with a little bit of sarcasm, because he's a Muslim who's married to a Christian. His wife is Christian. They got a couple kids. This guy's written numerous books. He's very popular. You may not have ever heard of him before. I haven't heard of him until just a couple months back. But his book is flying off the shelves. And it's pretty easy to understand why. Because one of the things it does is what we explained last week, is Dr. Walter Martin, in his book, Kingdom of the Cults, had at the end of the book a little five-point thing that you can look at, and had five discussion points where you can analyze any church and see whether they are truly Christ-centered, Bible-believing or not. And that's been a lesson I taught when I took some lessons through John Ankerberg down in Florida through his website years ago on different comparative theology stuff. But always the aspect of every religion, except true Christianity, is that it takes away something from Jesus. It takes away the deity of Christ, takes away the crucifixion, takes away the resurrection. Some point of that, it takes away. And that makes Christ not who he is. And that's what this book does. This is not a Christ-honoring, Bible-believing book that we should have Bible studies on. And the reason the world is sucking this book up is because they don't want to hear that there's only one way to heaven. They don't want to hear that there's only one truth. They don't want to hear the fact that they're sinners and that we're sinners in need of a Savior. But the world eats this stuff up. Because the more stuff like that they read, they become complacent and comfortable in the fact that what they believe is truth is actually truth when it's not. So we're up against a lot of stuff going on here in this world. Like I say, I'm not going to jump all over Stuart. I'm not going to condemn him in any way, except for the fact his book is super popular. I'm not telling you to run out and buy it. I did enough reading on it on the internet to know exactly what I wanted to say. It's on a number one bestseller list, and I wanted to explain. The world is hungry for everything that isn't God. We have a hole in our hearts that only fits in it is Jesus Christ. That's how we were wired from birth. That's how He sewn us together in our mother's womb. That's why He created us. It's for relationship. He started with the family. It will end with the family. And God loves everybody, but not everybody is going to be in the family. That's a sobering message that we need to understand that has to be delivered in love and grace, like I've been saying every week this month. It's not a judgment. It's not a condemnation. The world wants to believe there are many ways to this and that. Well, I can honestly tell you the Buddhist heaven is different from the Christian heaven. The Hindu heaven is nothing like Christ's heaven. The heaven of Islam is nothing like God's throne room. The gospel in itself is what we are carriers of. That good news. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. Christ warned His believers then, they're going to hate you. They're going to kill you because of Me, Him. It's a message that's becoming more and more looked down upon in the world, guys. Paul said in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you were arrested today for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? The judge is coming, guys, and we will have to answer for the way we've lived our lives and how much in faith we've stepped out. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew 25, verse 31. I need to make a quick note here, otherwise I will forget. So pardon me. Talk amongst yourselves. I love preaching. There's nothing more on the planet that I love than talking about Christ. I love it because, man, that Ronnie, I think Ronnie mentioned the scripture earlier, Revelation 13:8. Christ. Well, either way, I'm thinking of 13:8, so be quiet. You know I love you, Ronnie. Christ was a lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. That's the scripture that speaks to me more than any other scripture on the planet, that I have hope in the living God, that He has had a plan before the earth ever came around. Whether you believe it's millions, billions, or thousands, we can debate that another day. That God had a plan back then for today, this moment. That I can stand up here in front of you guys this morning and proclaim the gospel and stand assured that it is the book of truth. And that it is God's word delivered by His Spirit. In verse 31, guys, chapter 25 of Matthew. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates out the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. Dave touched on it last month. Sheep are dumb. Goats aren't any smarter. But Christ reminded us in the Gospels that He is the Good Shepherd. And His sheep know His voice, and they follow Him. I wanted to ask you guys this morning, are you living your life and dragging Jesus along? Or are you letting Him lead your life and be the shepherd of your life? Ask yourself that question. Can you look yourself in the mirror and say, Lord, You are the leader of my life. Where You go, I follow. Where You lead, I go. Or are you living your life the way you want to and dragging Christ around with you? Come on, Jesus, come here. I want to go over here. I want to go do this. Goats are stubborn. Goats are very independent. Goats are knuckleheaded animals. I know I used to be one. They do what they want. They eat what they want. I always envision the Looney Tune cartoons. Whenever they stick a goat in there, he's chewing on a tin can. There's a lot of minerals in tin cans. Not digestible. But here Christ is looking at sheep and goats. If He's called you to be a sheep and you are a sheep, then you need to be reaching out to the goats. Anytime we speak up here, whether it's my brother Dave, Dan, Mike, Randy, Gary, anybody else, man, that we feel led to get up here and speak, we don't ever want to come off condemning. Because we stand as humble sinners, saved by a loving, gracious God, with a message that people so dearly need to hear, whether they think they need to hear it or not. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry? When did we feed you thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick in prison or go to visit you? And the king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. And I've heard a couple different sides of the story here, because it says the least of these brothers of mine. There's guys that believe that we should only be encouraging, feeding, clothing, and reaching out to fellow Christians. When if you take, as you always should, the bulk of Scripture and what God's Word says in its entirety, from Genesis to Revelation, you see that God has done nothing but reach out to those people who, one, didn't deserve it, but two, so desperately needed it. So Christ here isn't necessarily talking. Sure, we should be encouraging. Iron sharpens iron. We should be lifting each other up, because we're not all up. We're like radio signals. My brother might be up and I'm down. Or my wife is down and I'm up. Well, it's us to reach up and help each other up and encourage one another. Remind us of that grace and mercy. Remind us of the hope that we have in us. Because we do get forgetful. We do get stubborn at times. I confess that. I do believe we're all guilty of that. But we need to be reminded. I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Then Christ says, He will say to those on the left, depart from me, you who are cursed into eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Guys, hell was not created. The lake of fire was not created for any person. Except the devil and his angels. All sins under heaven can be forgiven. But you have to ask. And there's only one that can't. And Christ Himself explained, it's blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And you may not know what that means this morning, but I'm going to tell you. And you may know, but you're going to hear it anyways. It's denying that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's denying that He died on the cross for your sins. It's denying the fact that He rose again and gives us the opportunity. It doesn't shock me when the world says, I love this book because it's not the deity of Christ. It's not the God-man Jesus. It shouldn't shock us at all that they eat it up, because that's what they want to hear. Paul reminded Timothy, they have itchy ears. They put people around them where that's the gospel they want to hear, and it's not a gospel at all. It's not a gospel at all. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. If you remember in Luke 10 that we looked at a couple weeks back, the Good Samaritan. A guy was beaten and left in the ditch. And the religious guy, the holy guy, late for Bible study, got to get there at 9 o'clock in the morning for cafe. No condemnation, guys. But I'm just telling you like it is. Walked on by, said, God bless you. I'll pray for you. Another religious guy from another church down the street. God bless you, bro. And it took the Samaritan, the good Samaritan, who the Jews looked on as dogs. They used to travel around the area of Samaria because they didn't want to come into contact with them. And what did Jesus do? He went into the ditch and took that dude out. Because He had already prompted that Samaritan's heart to step out in grace, step out in faith, to take a chance on that this dude needs help. Christ Himself went to the well and spoke with the woman there who was a Samaritan during the midday in broad daylight, telling her she needed something to drink. Are you ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? He will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. I'm not questioning anybody's salvation here this morning, guys. I will ask you and encourage you, what are you doing with that gift? Are we reaching out? Are you actively seeking God's divine purpose in your plan every day, wherever you may go? Joshua 24:15. I love this scripture. Joshua's talking to the people. And he says, choose this day whom you will serve. And in serving means we submit ourselves to our master. Now, the Greek word doulos in the New Testament was pretty controversial back when the King James Version was written, because they didn't like using the first definition of doulos, which means slave. Because in essence, the word says slave to Christ. But because of slavery going on at that time, it wasn't real popular. We're not going to bring a lot of people into the church. And the second definition of that is servant. Now, that can be interchanged, but I definitely see the value in being understanding that being in Christ is freedom, not slavery and bondage. Being a slave to Christ is true freedom. Being a slave to the world is true death. And Joshua challenged the people then, choose this day whom you will serve. The Romans had a saying for that, carpe diem, seize the day. Turn your Bibles to James chapter 2, if you would. We don't have the rest of these scriptures up here. I'm just flying by the Spirit in the seat of my pants. James chapter 2, verse 14. says, what is it? What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such a faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed. God bless you. Jesus loves you. But does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Let me please clarify, we're not talking about a work-based salvation here. Because every other religion on the planet, I guarantee it, is works-based for their salvation, which is not salvation at all. If you were here a couple weeks back, the road to heaven is narrow. The road to destruction, the gate to destruction is wide. Faith without works is dead. If you're truly a believer, then go, Jesus said in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go and make disciples. Go baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go feed, go clothe, go help, go pick up out of the ditch. Go share the love of Christ. Go open your Bible with somebody. And I know that can be scary. Because a lot of times, we're not all wired the same way. And I say it all the time, we're big mouths like us. But that's okay, because God can still use that. God can use the way you are wired as the way He meant to wire you. You can still share that love of Christ. Turn your Bibles to John 17, verse 13. Here Christ is talking to the disciples. He's about to be arrested, about to be taken in to these bogus courts, about to be convicted, condemned to death. He's about to be hung on a cross. He's about to be beaten publicly. He's going to be hung on a cross, and he's going to give up his spirit on that cross because nobody killed him. Christ gave up his spirit. He was nailed to the cross by our sins, but Christ willingly gave up his spirit. So he's talking to his disciples, his followers, his believers. And he's giving them his last words of encouragement. And I love this because there's a little snippet in here we really need to get, and I hope you guys get. Start in John 17, verse 13. I am coming to you now. He's praying to the Father at this time. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they, his believers, may have the full measure of joy, of his joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them. For they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, and they too may be truly sanctified. If you jump back to verse 15, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. God desires not to call you home yet. You are here for a purpose. His desire is to protect you from the evil one so he does not destroy you. But your purpose and plan here is to share the love of Christ in any way possible. You are all uniquely designed, beautiful creatures created by God. Amen? Do not let the world tell you otherwise. Do not let anybody tell you otherwise. There will never be another Doug, another Adam, another Catherine. You are individually created. God is amazing in that. You can even have twins that look identical. One of my favorite UFC fighters, and I love MMA, is Matt Hughes. He's retired now, but he has a twin brother. They look exactly the same. If it wasn't for their haircut, you wouldn't be able to tell them the same. But nonetheless, obviously, they are two separate people. Two different people. They might have a lot of things in common. They might do a lot of things the same way. But uniquely, however I'm saying that. Help me. Nomenclature has never been my forte. Yeah, easier said than... Don't ask me to define it. So we are all uniquely created, uniquely wired. And it's God's wish and desire for our lives. All through here, for the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at, and Christ is talking about what the kingdom is going to be like. And God spoke to me. My wife and I were married for 11 years. I'm trying not to cry, but I can't help it. But we tried for 11 years to have a baby. You guys prayed for us all the time, man. Finally, we conceived. And every night I would put my head to Vel's belly, and it sounded like a fish tank. When all the TVs are off and it's all quiet. And Val and I would sit there and say, what is she going to look like? What's she going to be like? Is she going to look like you? Is she going to look like me? What's her character going to be like? What are little quirks that are going to drive us crazy going to be like? And to me, that's a glimpse of the kingdom. Because when Marissa came into this world, and here she's 4 and a half, going to be 5 in November, she is just absolutely more than I could ever imagine. I have never been more in love with another human being in my life than I am with my little girl. And for me, that is a glimpse of the kingdom. Because we're only getting a little picture of it now. When we step into eternity and we face God, I have a feeling, and when I say face, just like Joe said earlier, I don't think there'll be much standing. As Moses fell on his face at the burning bush, when he recognized and God told him, you stand on holy ground, we will be prostrate and say, Lord. And I believe maybe even for a little glimpse, we'll have regret on how we lived our life, that we could have done more. And we can do more. And I know it's hard, guys. But don't forget God is with us. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 4. Almost done, and I'll get you guys out of here. We got another song coming up, though, which is fitting for the end here. Hebrews 4:12, guys. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. Jump over to Philippians chapter 2, if you would, please. Last hurdle, I promise. Unless the Spirit leads otherwise. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, Paul tells the church in Philippi. Who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place, gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. It does not matter what you believe this morning. And when it comes to the appropriate time, we will all kneel before Christ Jesus. We will all have a greater understanding of who that King is. And unfortunately, some of us will be heading off to hell. That the name of Jesus, every knee should bow to heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The Word tells us you cannot confess that and mean it unless you have the Spirit of the living God in you. Ephesians tells us in Galatians that God gives us the faith in the first place to believe back to Christ. That God is Spirit and He must be worshipped in Spirit. If you do not have the Spirit, you cannot worship in Spirit. To the glory of God the Father. The judge is coming, guys. Are we ready? I pray with all my heart that this series this month has encouraged you guys to step out on a little bit more faith, to reach that person. Divine appointments happen all the time. It might only be a 10-second window. It might be a 10-year window. I don't know. follow God's leading in your life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that your word is truth. We thank you that you are true, holy, righteous, but you're also merciful, loving, gracious, and forgiving, Lord. We are imperfect people. We stand before you, each and every one of us, imperfect followers of you, Lord. Imperfect people. We will not be perfected till we see you face to face, Lord. Let your Spirit continue to dwell with us. Let that fire that we heard from Joe and the worship band that we're going to hear again here coming up burn in us ever brighter. Let's not hide our light under a bowl. Let's not hide our light in a closet. Let us not be ashamed of the gospel, Lord, that you brought to us, that you took us and reached down as that good Samaritan did and pulled us out of the miry clay and set us on a rock that is you, mighty God. It is by your truth we live. It is by your truth we stand. We praise you and proclaim you are Lord, mighty Jesus. In your precious name, Jesus. Amen.